Our correspondent in Moscow, Johnny Miller, will bring us the latest on the situation in the city shortly after it was hit by Ukraine's drone strikes. At least 46 Palestinians are injured during an Israeli attack on a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. And South Korea says it's working closely with the U.S. for possible provocation by North Korea with its planned launch of a reconnaissance satellite. Hello and welcome from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. First story this hour takes us to Russia, where the capital, Moscow, has been targeted by a swarm of drones for the first time since the war with Ukraine began. Russia has slammed the move as Ukrainian terrorism.
This morning, the Kiev regime carried out a terrorist act in the Moscow region, I emphasize, on civilian sites.
Well, the drone attack targeted several areas, including a suburb where the Russian President Vladimir Putin has an official residence. Earlier, Russia said all 8 drones involved were downed by its air defenses. The Russian Defense Ministry said it was Kiev's biggest drone attack on Moscow. Russian officials said no one was seriously injured and there was only minor damage to buildings. A Ukrainian presidential aide denied Kiev's involvement but said it's watching the developments with, quote, pleasure, and forecast more attacks to come. Now, the raid comes after multiple Russian drone strikes on Ukraine's capital, Kiev, killed one person and wounded 4 others. Well, Johnny Miller has been at the site of that drone attack that hit Moscow earlier on Tuesday. Let's take a listen to his description of the aftermath of the attack.
Now, I'm at the site of one of the drone strikes in Moscow here in the southwest of the city. It's a pretty innocuous scene, to be honest. Some journalists here, police, many passers-by who are straining their necks to try and see the damage. And there isn't much damage. There's not much discernible wreckage or casualties. But on the 16th floor, I think, a broken window where apparently, we're told, a drone flew inside. It was armed, we're told, but the bombs didn't go off. Now, I've spoken to 6 other residents. Frankly, they seem pretty bemused and more annoyed than anything else. Annoyed that they were woken up at 6 a.m. and evacuated. One of them told me she heard the sound of the drone and the impact. There doesn't seem to be too much anger about an apparent strike by a foreign state, more bemusement. But one woman told me that this is just the beginning, she said rather ominously, echoing what many people will think, that this rather innocuous scene will lead to a greater escalation of this conflict.
Israeli forces have injured at least 46 Palestinians in their latest raid on the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. The regime's military stormed the Ascar refugee camp in the raid. The main target was the homes of 2 Palestinians who were shot dead by Israeli forces earlier this month, allegedly over anti-Israel operations. Other troopers fired tear gas and rubber-coated bullets to disperse local Palestinians who confronted them, leading to the injuries. Nablus has seen intensified crackdown by the regime's military over the past weeks. Now, that's against the backdrop of almost daily Israeli raids across the West Bank. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier to give us more on the latest Israeli raid on the West Bank city of Nablus. Let's take a listen.
This time, Israeli forces raided the refugee camp of Ascar, East Nablus, in order to map the homes of 2 Palestinian martyrs in the Ascar refugee camp. The first one, Hassan Qabdani, he was killed after the Israeli military accused him that he was responsible for the shooting that led to the killing of 3 settlers in the occupied West Bank, as well as the home. The Israeli forces took the measurement of the home of Hussam Salim, another Palestinian martyr, and the Israelis. accuse him for being responsible, who gave the orders for the killing one, for the killing of one of Israeli soldiers last year, also in the occupied West Bank. During this operation to map the homes of the two Palestinian martyrs, clashes took place between the Israeli forces and Palestinian residents of the Askar refugee camp. And we have to mention that, of course, Palestinian fighters live inside the Askar refugee camp, of course, or they came from other areas and they clashed with Israeli forces because the Israeli military claimed that they came under fire. The Palestinian Ministry of Health said at least 46 Palestinians were wounded by the Israeli forces during the operation to Askar refugee camp.
An Israeli settler has been shot dead near the northern West Bank city of Tokhram. According to Israeli media, the man was shot at the entrance of the Hermesh settlement. The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, the Palestinian resistance group linked to the Fatah party, have claimed responsibility for the shooting. The group released a statement saying this and future operations will not be the final response to avenge their martyrs. In recent months, Israeli settlers have increased their brutality on Palestinian civilians in the occupied West Bank, killing and injuring many as well as burning homes. Resistance groups have in turn stepped up their retaliatory attacks. Israeli settlements on occupied Palestinian territories are illegal under international law. Azerbaijan is hosting the Israeli president and his high-ranking delegation despite public backlash in the Caspian Sea country against the normalization of ties with the regime. Isaac Herzog landed in Baku and received an official welcome from Azerbaijan's first deputy prime minister earlier on Tuesday. Herzog has met President Ilham Aliyev, whose country opened its embassy in Tel Aviv in March. The Caucasian nation also appointed its first ever ambassador to Tel Aviv in December of last year. But people are angry over Baku's diplomatic relations with the Israeli regime. Azerbaijanis are not the only people rejecting their government's move to normalize ties with Israel. People in some Arab states have also voiced their opposition to a U.S. brokered normalization deal between their rulers and the Israeli regime. Well, the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting has visited Lebanon as part of efforts to boost Tehran-Beirut cultural ties. During his trip, Peyman Jebeli met with senior Lebanese officials as well as the Secretary General of the resistance movement, Hezbollah. Our correspondent in Beirut brings us more.
RIIB Chief, Iran's national broadcaster, Peyman Jebeli, is on an official visit to Lebanon where he has met top officials. A meeting with Lebanon's culture minister was seen by both figures as significant in order to boost bilateral cooperation on all levels, especially in the cultural sector.
As we had together faced the threat of military war, we together must face together in collaboration this cultural war, this war that intends to distract our awareness of what in real is happening in the region.
The highlight of the trip was a tour to towns in southern Lebanon. Head of the IRIB told reporters as he overlooked occupied Palestine that the resistance has recorded a historic achievement after inflicting the heaviest defeat on the Israeli regime when it was forced to withdraw from Lebanon. But this victory is something that needs to be honored and protected by the media.
We, the media, with our role to narrate these stories of heroic stances, victories, and highlight the significance of what occurred, have a huge responsibility. A military operation would be limited in space and time, but the job of the media needs to persist in all places and at all times. My presence here as head of the IRIB, and in this town of Marun Aras, which overlooks occupied Palestine, is a symbolic and hopefully practical statement of unity and joint efforts with our brothers in the media of resistance.
IRIB CEO told reporters that this visit is aimed at strengthening the unity and cooperation among media outlets which support the resistance.
As part of the effort to form, as in the military field, the resistance groups could do a coordinated effort and form the coordinated operation rooms high on agenda was that to form the same unity among the resistance media. So as part of that, he had meetings with high-ranking Lebanese officials and people in the resistance groups.
Mr. Jabeli had met earlier with Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah, who discussed some new and bright ideas on ways to cooperate with all resistance media, especially in Lebanon and Palestine. During their meeting, the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting and Hezbollah Secretary General both stressed the need to strengthen other facets of resistance, namely to confront the mass media campaign, which targets the people of the region. Maryam Saleh from Marouna Ras, South Lebanon.
Well, Iran and the International Atomic Energy Agency have reportedly resolved the technical issue related to an Iranian site. Informed Iranian sources have been quoted as saying that the development is related to the Abadis site, one of the issues raised by the IAEA. It said this is the second issue in question that has been resolved since the agency's Director General Rafael Grossi visited Iran back in March. Now, the other settled issue was the claim that the IAEA had found 83% enriched uranium particles in the country. Iran has repeatedly called on the UN watchdog to take up a professional and technical approach to its nuclear activities. Tehran has also called on the IAEA to avoid politicizing issues under the pressure of Western powers. Well, North Korea says it will launch its first military reconnaissance satellite in June. The announcement comes despite warnings from Japan and heightened tensions between Pyongyang and Washington's regional allies. Pyongyang says the launch is essential to monitor what it calls the dangerous military movements of the U.S. and its allies. It lashes out at their joint military drills, saying the war games show their reckless ambition for aggression. Washington and Seoul kicked off what they describe as their biggest live-fire exercises last week. Meanwhile, the South Korean military has reacted to Pyongyang's plan to launch a satellite. It says the situation is closely being monitored by Seoul and Washington.
South Korea and the U.S. intelligence authorities are closely monitoring related movements in close cooperation and monitoring a possible provocation of the so-called satellites claimed by North Korea.
North Korea earlier informed Japan of its planned launch. It sparked warning from Japanese officials who said any North Korean missile entering the country's territory would be destroyed. The notification also prompted Japan to put its ballistic missile defenses on alert. Tokyo believes Pyongyang wants to disguise a missile launch as a satellite. North Korea has recently test-fired a series of missiles. It says the launches are in response to the military muscle flexing by the South and the U.S. Earlier, our correspondent in Seoul, Frank Smith, joined us, gave us the details of the planned satellite launch by North Korea.
Well, it'll be a reconnaissance satellite, according to North Korea. It'll be trying to take pictures and surveil, especially South Korea and the U.S. forces in the region. North Korea did provide a photograph of the South Korean capital, Seoul, that it suggested came from a satellite that it had previously launched, but that was a relatively low-resolution photograph. So one of the questions that I think experts will have is just how capable will this surveillance be? North Korea, however, has made a point of saying that it wants to develop better reconnaissance of South Korea and the U.S. forces deployed here. In December, it flew four drones across the DMZ into South Korean territory, one drone even making it near the presidential offices in order to take pictures of, again, South Korean and U.S. defenses here in the South Korean part of the peninsula.
Now, the U.S. says China has turned down its request for a meeting between the two countries' defense ministers this weekend. The Pentagon claimed the purpose of the meeting was to ensure that competition between the two countries does not turn into conflict. There is no comment from Beijing yet, but it had earlier told Washington that there was little chance of a meeting as long as the U.S. maintained sanctions on the Chinese defense minister. Now, the sanctions were imposed in 2018 in connection with the Chinese purchase of Russian fighter jets and missiles. Less than 2 weeks ago, U.S. President Joe Biden said he expected an imminent thaw in bilateral relations, which are at their lowest points in decades. Well, now turning to France, which has threatened to ban Twitter across Europe if the American social media network fails to abide by new disinformation regulations in the bloc. French Digital Transition and Telecommunications Minister Jean Nouvart said the EU cannot take the risk of a network such as Twitter because it's the hub of disinformation supporters. He described disinformation as one of the gravest threats weighing on democracies. The EU will enforce new social media rules starting this August. Barrett's threat comes 2 days after the EU Internal Market Commissioner announced that Twitter had withdrawn from the bloc's voluntary code to fight disinformation online, which other companies pledged to follow. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Inflation has been a big reason why millions of Americans have expressed a gloomy outlook about the U.S. economy. Even though officials have claimed that unemployment rate in the United States is at a half-century low of 3.4%, and many workers have received pay gains. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Associated Press has covered this story and tells us more. A key index of United States prices ticked higher in April and consumer spending rebounded, a sign that inflationary pressures in the economy remain high. The index, which is called Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index and is closely monitored by the U.S. Federal Reserve, showed that prices rose 0.4% from March to April. That was much higher than the 0.1% rise the previous month. Measured year over year, prices increased 4.4% in April, up from 4.2% in March. The year over year figure is down sharply from a 7% peak last June, but remains far above the US Federal Reserve's 2% target. Friday, 26th of May's report from the government claimed that despite rising prices, consumers remain buoyant. The spending jumped 0.8% from March to April, the biggest increase since January. Much of the increase was driven by spending on new cars, which soared 6.2%. At the same time, the persistence of high inflation rate is complicating the U.S. Federal Reserve's interest rate decisions. The chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, has signaled that the Fed will likely forego a rate hike when it meets in mid-June, after 10 straight increases in the past 14 months. But a vocal group among the Fed's 18-member interest rate setting committee has pushed for more interest rate hikes later this year on the grounds that inflation isn't slowing quickly enough. Michael Gapon, U.S. economist at Bank of America Securities, said inflation is too sticky for the Federal Reserve to commit to an extended pause. Even if the Fed skips June, it will keep July in play for a rate hike. U.S. Federal Reserve officials particularly watch a category of prices called core inflation, which includes volatile energy and food costs and is considered a better gauge of underlying inflation. Core prices rose 0.4% from March to April, the same as in the previous month, and 4.7% from 12 months earlier. The year-over-year core inflation figure has changed little since it first touched 4.6% in December. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is separate from the government's better-known Consumer Price Index, the CPI. The government reported earlier this month that the CPI rose 4.9% in April compared with 12 months earlier. Since inflation began surging after the pandemic recession, the PCE index has tended to show lower inflation than the Consumer Price Index, the CPI. In part, that was because rents, which were among the biggest inflation drivers, carry twice the weight in the CPI that they do in the CPE. In addition, the CPE index seeks to account for changes in how people shop when inflation jumps. As a result, it can capture emerging trends when, for example, consumers shift away from pricey national brands in favor of cheaper store brands. The latest inflation figures arrived as U.S. Federal Reserve officials are noisily debating their next step and having raised their key interest rate 10 times in the past 14 months. Several of the policymakers have said they favor raising interest rates even higher in the coming months. But most Fed watchers expect the central bank to forego another interest rate hike at its next meeting in mid-June. Chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, said recently that after raising the benchmark rate to a 16-year high of about 5.1%, Fed officials can afford to wait and see how those increases have affected the economy. It can take a year or even more for interest rate hikes to significantly slow the job market and the overall economy. The U.S. Federal Reserve's ultimate goal is to make borrowing costlier for consumers and businesses and thereby reduce spending, growth, and inflation. Its interest rate increases have led to a more than doubling of mortgage rates and elevated the costs of car loans, credit card borrowing, and business loans. They have also heightened the risk of a recession, which most economists predict will begin sometime this year. Even some officials who likely favor skipping an interest rate hike in June, like Philip Jefferson, a member of the Fed's influential Board of Governors, have said they are disappointed that inflation has not slowed more than it has. Much of the latest inflation pressure reflected persistently high prices for services, including meals in restaurants, hotel rooms, and car maintenance. Inflation has been a big reason why millions of Americans have expressed a gloomy outlook about the U.S. economy, even though the unemployment rate is at a half-century low of 3.4%, and many workers have received pay gains. Yet a recent U.S. Federal Reserve report found that, on average, inflation has outstripped those wage increases and left many people worse off. At the end of last year, just below three-quarters of the American public said they were doing okay financially or living comfortably. That marked a drop of 5 percentage points from the previous year and was among the lowest such levels measured since the survey began back in 2016. The British newspaper The Financial Times has also covered the same story. Large US companies are taking shelter in bankruptcy court, a sign of a tightening credit squeeze as interest rates rise and financial markets become less hospitable to borrowers. Eight companies with more than $500 million in liabilities have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this month, including five in a single 24-hour stretch last week. In 2022, the monthly average was just over three filings. According to figures compiled by bankruptcydata.com website, 27 large debtors have filed for bankruptcy so far in 2023, compared to 40 for all of 2022. Among recent companies to succumb to creditors include Envision Healthcare, Vice Media, and Kid Fenwall, a maker of fire control systems facing thousands of lawsuits over its use of so-called forever chemicals. The bankruptcies come after years of quiescent markets and rising valuations allowed even financially stressed firms to raise debt and equity capital to stay afloat. Debt default rates had fallen to about 1% in 2021. As central banks pumped money into the coronavirus pandemic-stressed economy. Now, the Standard & Poor's Global forecast that the 12-month trailing default rate for speculative-grade securities will jump from the current 2.5% to 4.5% by early 2024. Yields on junk bonds have more than doubled from less than 4% in mid-2021, as measured by the BA U.S. High Yield Index, an indication of how much more expensive capital has become for less creditworthy borrowers. The U.S. Federal Reserve has warned that lenders could further contract the supply of credit to businesses after recent turmoil in the banking sector. Bill Darrow, investment banker at Moelis, who advises clients across distressed situations, said, "Our general view is that we're going to see an increase in hard restructuring driven by a combination of higher debt levels from the borrowing binge of COVID and rising interest rates. The triggerers will be running out of money and inability to refinance maturing debt." He added, "Some companies have used every trick in the book and now have run out of tricks."
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Jannah, You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are currently focusing on the first sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And in this sermon, we are kind of trying to explore the different duties and messengers, the different duties and responsibilities of prophets and messengers that Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned. Amongst those duties that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions is one important duty, and that is وَيُرِيهِمْ وَيُرُوهُمْ آيَاتِ الْمَقْدِرَةِ, that the prophets and messengers, they show to the people the signs of God's power. And we gave various examples, we came across various examples that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions with regards to God's power. And one of those examples that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions is wa ajalin tufnihim, that this fact that people die when a certain time comes, whether you like it or not, they die. This is also a sign of God's power. And really, we give examples, and of course you can see that even the best of doctors, when that time comes, they cannot do anything. Though maybe physically there is a chance for that thing to survive, but there is something that that thing cannot continue to live. This is something of as a sign of God's power, and something for us human beings to contemplate.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Another example that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives us is, he says, وَأَوْصَابٍ تُهْرِمُهُمْ, that there are certain incidents that occur, certain occurrences that happen to the human body that makes them old. And whether you like it or not, that person will continue to become old, will continue to deteriorate as time passes. This is an aspect of God's power. The way the system has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, you know, as time passes, this entity begins to lose certain aspects of its physical existence. Certain occurrences happen in the body that cause it to become what it becomes. It becomes old. The person becomes old. Certain things happen to the bones. Certain things happen to the minds. The mind, certain things happen to the nervous system, okay, the muscular system. For example, after a certain age, the muscles start to deteriorate. After a certain age, something else happens. This is a part of God's creation. And if a person were to focus on this aspect and see that, look, oh human being, can't you see the power of God hidden in this? That there is something that, whether you like it or not, is taking you towards old age. Yes, you can extend here and there a bit, but it is still there. Yeah, there are exceptions that people, for example, are saying that maybe there are some people who continue to live for a long period of time and they don't experience aging as such, which is very, very, very exceptional, but it is also there in the power of God. It is actually an aspect of God's power whereby a person, he can extend the lifespan of someone and reduce the lifespan of someone, can postpone the old agedness of someone or not postpone someone's old agedness. But this is something for human beings to understand and to contemplate, that look, there is something called old age, that whatever you do, you cannot stop it from happening. It's going to occur. It's going to happen. You see? This is an aspect of God's power over you as an entity. Especially those people whose ages have gone by. The younger ones, they're still, you know, just enjoying life, and they are in a kind of a craze that you can't even tell them about these things. If you tell them, they'll tell you, let us enjoy ourselves and we don't want to think about these things. But now those people who have skipped an age, they realize that, you see, things are not in our power in terms of our bodies, in terms of our physical existence.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Another thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, which is a sign of God's power, he says, وَأَحْدَاثٍ تَتَابَعُ. He says that those various incidents that happen in a person's lives, various occurrences, incidents, whether they be natural, personal, or incidents that happen due to another person's actions, all of these are things that a person cannot stop. Like today, can you stop if something is supposed to happen to you in life? Can you really stop it? Like, frankly, we cannot even control the weather around us. We can't control even the way the earth rotates. I mean, many things are not really beyond our control, you know? The change in weather, day and night. And these are just the major occurrences. But the smaller occurrences also, whatever. We can control how we react. That's another thing. But it happening to us, it's beyond our control. If a person had that divine outlook, he can take lessons from these occurrences in his life. And that one of those lessons is to understand that there is a power beyond myself that is controlling these affairs. You see? To understand of God, to have that understanding of God's power. And therefore, a person, you know, this really would give him peace or her peace if he or she realized that this is all God's power, you know. And if I just connect myself to that God, then I connect myself to the source of all of these powers. And therefore, I can ask help from that God to kind of bear these difficulties, if they are difficult, and to find solutions towards these problems, or to protect me or whoever from these occurrences to happen in my life that can be detrimental to me or to anyone. You see, this is an aspect that Imam Ali alayhi salam would want us to think about. And the prophets of God, they came to make people realize these things, to make them realize that there is a God, there is a divine control, there is a force beyond, and make them now adhere to the commandments and to the teachings of that entity that has control over their affairs. And slowly, slowly, if a person were to think in this way, then he would not allow the enemies of God, the enemies of humanity, to take reins and destroy the good life that human beings can achieve through the worship of God. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو وفي الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
From east to west, throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
The insurance giant State Farm, America's biggest car and home insurer by premium volume, will halt the sale of new home insurance policies in California, citing unacceptable wildfire risk and rapidly rising construction costs. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered the story and tells us more. State Farm said it will no longer accept new applications for home and business insurance in California because of an increase in catastrophic events and construction costs, the company announced on Friday, 26th of May. State Farm General Insurance Company made this decision due to historic increases in construction costs outpacing inflation, rapidly growing catastrophe exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market, the insurance company said in a statement. The new guideline took effect on Saturday, 27th of May, and includes all business and personal lines, property, and casualty insurance. It will not, however, impact State Farm's personal auto insurance policies, the company said. State Farm's independent contractor agents will continue to serve current customers who already have property and casualty insurance with the company, meaning they can still make claims for property that is already covered by the company. The company has also not issued any non-renewals at this time. In 2021, California experienced at least 7,396 wildfires, which burnt nearly 2.6 million acres of land, according to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. Last year, in 2022, California experienced 7,490 wildfires that burned 362,455 acres of land. State Farm, which was the largest property and casualty insurer in California in 2021, brought in over $7 billion in premiums that year, but incurred losses of about $4 billion, state data showed. According to the California Department of Insurance, CDI, insurance companies covering property may be required to cover living expenses such as emergency shelter and food, personal property, and valuables, damage to the property and other buildings or structures on it, the removal of trees, shrubs, and debris, and water damage not caused by a flood. The company said it will continue to work with California Department of Insurance, CDI, and evaluate the market over time, indicating that this new policy could change depending on the economy. State Farm is not the first insurance company to stop or limit property insurance coverage in California due to the increase in wildfires and state regulations. According to reporting by the Wall Street Journal last year, American International Group, AIG Group, notified thousands in California that their policies would not be renewed. It's necessary to take these actions now to improve the company's financial strength, the statement said. We will continue to evaluate our approach based on changing market conditions. The CDI, the California Department of Insurance, told CBS News in a statement on Saturday that State Farm's decision is the result of uncontrollable factors and does not affect the decisions of other insurance companies in California. While insurance companies prioritize their short-term financial goals, the long-term goal of the Department of Insurance is protecting consumers, the statement said. The factors driving State Farm's decision are beyond our control, including climate change, reinsurance costs affecting the entire insurance industry, and global inflation. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story. The insurance giant State Farm, America's biggest car and home insurer by premium volume, will halt the sale of new home insurance policies in California, citing wildfire risk and inflation of construction costs. Starting on Saturday, 27th of May, the company will not accept insurance applications for businesses and personal lines property and casualty insurance. The company will still accept auto insurance applicants. State Farm General Insurance Company made this decision due to the historic increases in construction costs outpacing inflation, rapidly growing catastrophe exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market, the company said in a statement. We take seriously our responsibility to manage risk. We recognize the governor's administration, legislators, and the California Department of Insurance, CDI, for their wildfire loss mitigation efforts. We pledge to work constructively with the CDI, the California Department of Insurance, and policymakers to help build market capacity in California. However, it's necessary to take these actions now to improve the company's financial strength. Existing customers insured by State Farm will not be impacted by the decision. In response to State Farm's statement, a spokesperson with the California Department of Insurance, CDI, told Fox Business News that it is working to protect homeowners. The factors driving State Farm's decision are beyond our control, including climate change, reinsurance costs affecting the entire insurance industry, and global inflation, said the spokesperson. State Farm is not the only insurance company to disrupt coverage over wildfires. American International Group, AIG, a multinational insurance company, notified thousands of California homeowners last year that their policies will not be renewed. The latest statement from State Farm comes after a bout of wildfires in California last year. While wildfires are not rare in the western parts of the United States, the climate crisis has exacerbated the issue, especially in California. California saw 7,490 wildfires in 2022, an increase from the previous year, according to data from the California government. One wildfire in Northern California destroyed 100 homes and other buildings. The severity of wildfires has destroyed homes, caused injuries and deaths, and worsened air quality, exposing millions of Americans to smoke and ash. California's climates have become warmer and drier due to climate crisis, causing the state's wildfires to be more frequent and intense. A recent study found that between 1986 and 2021, almost 40% of forest area that burnt in the western United States and parts of Canada could be attributed to fossil fuels, the Washington Post reported. However, California has experienced record wildfires in the past 6 years. The state experienced 8 of the largest fires in U.S. history and 3 of the top 5 deadliest fires. The national broadcaster CNBC has also covered this story and tells us more. State Farm General Insurance Company on Friday, 26th of May, announced that it will stop accepting new homeowners insurance applications in California, citing rapidly growing catastrophe risks like wildfires, historic increases in construction costs, and a challenging reinsurance market. We take seriously our responsibility to manage risk, the company said in a statement released to the public. State Farm said it will stop accepting new businesses, personal lines, property, and casualty insurance applications starting on Saturday, 27th of May. The new policy will not impact personal auto insurance, according to the release. State Farm's independent contractor agents will also continue to serve existing customers. The company said it will work with the California Department of Insurance, CDI, and other policymakers to improve conditions in California, but that State Farm decided to take action to improve its financial strength. We will continue to evaluate our approach based on changing market conditions, State Farm said in a statement.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reason why the believers are tested and the wisdom behind it. You know, this is a topic that has been alluded to in the Holy Quran. By way of example, we have one verse of the Holy Quran in which God says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so that Allah may test what is in your breasts, and that He may purge what is in your hearts, and Allah knows best what is in the breasts. Also, in another verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following, we will surely test you until we ascertain those of you who wage jihad and struggle, and those who are steadfast, and we shall appraise your record. And he also said, He who created death and life, that He may test you, to see which of you is best in conduct. And He is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving. Right, so basically the gist of these verses is that Allah Ta'ala, He tests us to ascertain, the degree and level of our goodness. And in this blessed hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he kind of alludes to the same theme. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, the greater the ordeal and test, the greater the reward and recompense. Do you not see that Allah, the praiseworthy, tested our precursors from the time of Adam, peace be upon him, to the last generations in this world? With the creation of stones that neither harm nor benefit, nor do they hear or see. Meaning he's alluding here to idolatry. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says that God Almighty tested the people with idolatry to see whether they could use their intellects and comprehend whether these things which do not have the power to benefit or harm us in the least, whether human beings will turn to them or turn to God and rely on God Almighty and worship Him. In continuation, the Imam says, and He made from them His sacred house, meaning from the same stones, which He made a standing place for people. But Allah tries His servants with various ordeals and obligates them with various forms of struggle and tests them with various dreads in order to eradicate vanity from their hearts and instill humility in their souls, and that this may open the doors to His favor, right? And feasible means to His forgiveness. Right? Imam Ali says, alayhi salam says that God Almighty tests people so that pride and vanity that is in their hearts may be eliminated, and it can be replaced with humility, humbleness. And so that when these human beings, they pass these tests, they can be forgiven and they can obtain the otherworldly reward. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason and wisdom behind testing and trials and tribulations in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay.
Doing a sound from Montu.